What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1-300-872-911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846-4CA.
I've got to share this little story with you. I mean, we all got, from time to time, an attitude. Like Queensland Parks and Wildlife are invariably lecturing all of us because we're so insensitive about the threats to the vulnerable environment. And they've got you get this holier-than-thou lecture from time to time. Oh, we know what we're doing, and you mustn't go there, and you mustn't do this. Really? This is an interesting one. Have a listen to this. The shoe's on the other foot. It says here, wildlife officers are nearing the end of a mass culling of hundreds of wallabies on a Queensland island where more than 1,000 animals will soon have been killed. National Parks rangers have already destroyed hundreds of wallabies marked as pests on St. Helena Island, Moreton Bay, using high-powered rifles and precision night vision scope equipment. Can you believe this? Anyway, the Courier-Mail was told the out-of-control population, which had surged to plague proportions in recent years, was attributed to a decision from the Queensland Parks and Wildlife Service, QPWS. These are the people that are constantly angry with people just going out and enjoying themselves. Whatever. Not allowed to walk here, not allowed to go there. Crocodiles should have access to wherever they want to be. We're the invaders, not them. So this is the Queensland Parks and Wildlife Service. They released six red-necked wallabies to the island in 1986. Isn't this funny? This is another example of modelling gone wrong. With no natural predators in sight, the tiny protected population, there were six to start. Queensland Parks and Wildlife thought this is a good idea. Now, the island's infested with more than 1,000 inbred wallabies riddled with diseases and featuring gross deformities. And a spokesman for the Environment Department said, a 2017 report revealed significant health problems among the population. Listen to this. Blindness, other irregularities. The redneck wallabies are also known hosts of diseases like Q fever, Barmah forest disease, Ross River virus. It goes on and on. And they've got these weird deformities that clearly weren't taken into account when they released the six that have exploded to over 1,000. Look, I'm going to talk with somebody who's, well, I don't know anyone that knows the wallabies and how they survive and what can go wrong with experiments with wallabies. No one knows more than Shay Ager, I wouldn't imagine. She's the founder of the Agile Project, is Shay. Hello, Shay.
Hello, nice to see you again.
Obviously, I had to turn to you in this circumstance because you've had confrontations with these people over these issues. You had a significant win, David and Goliath win, I might say, on this particular, these sort of matters. Look, Shay, when you read this, releasing six in whenever it was, I can't remember the year that they were released. Oh, there it is, 1986, to now from 6 to, I don't know, 1,600 or something. They've got all these dreadful deformities, gross deformities, diseases, all these sorts of things. What's gone wrong, Shay, and could that have been forecast had these people done their homework?
Well, to be honest, I would love to see their current homework of where all of these stats have actually come from, because I know there was a report mentioned in that article from 2017. I do not think that one is a public report because I cannot get my hands on it. So if I could see that, that would be amazing. And when people say exact numbers, say, for example, 1,000 wallabies, we know how difficult it is to actually get a proper estimate on macropod populations, especially wallabies, because they love hiding in all little sorts of places. So when the government goes to count these animals, what methods are they actually using? Have there been ecologists consulted? A ranger is not an ecologist. A ranger is somebody that might love the environment and be working for our government department, but hasn't actually got the experience and training and qualifications to even do surveys like that. So perhaps they have done it, but I think it would be really good if they did make all of that data, statistics, and apparent report quite public so that we actually can see whether this information is even reliable or not. Because 1,000 wallabies getting shot in the head once again, in Australia, does our government want to constantly be known for this?
It's bizarre, isn't it? What's happening? Here's just an example of this coverage. As the population exploded, they damaged the island's natural and cultural values, eating native vegetation, killing trees, causing erosion of stone walls at their footings by trampling and licking salt from the stone. I mean, clearly there's been significant damage. And this has been under the watch of a department that is fundamentally created to protect the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So are there other most humane management solutions? I have no doubt in my mind, and I will never argue about the fact that wallabies can destroy a lot of environment if they are in high density numbers and it's quite an unnatural situation. So I'm never going to question that because I've seen it. And I'm also not going to question the fact that they can reproduce very quickly. I'm now hired across all of Australia by government bodies, including the one that, did that big David and Goliath battle. So I always find that a little bit ironic and quite funny. But I do these wallaby captures, kangaroo captures, macropod captures, genetic studies and relocations all across Australia now. And a couple of times I've done them on enclosed environments where a population has started off with less than 10 animals and ended up, one case was 112, and another case it was a couple of hundred animals from just 7. So that's really interesting because, yes, they breed quite quickly, within a matter of 10 years even. But what's even more interesting, and I'm going to quote something a bit ridiculous from one of everyone's favourite movies, but nature finds a way. Have you heard that before?
No, don't ask me about that. Keep going.
No, Jurassic Park. Everyone always laughs when I say it, but nature does find a way to essentially kill out the ones that do have the genetic variations. Wow. So say if there were some inbreeding, which is entirely possible, nature does find a way. So that might be usually through predators, but also deformities usually lead to an unsuccessful reproductive system and other things like that. So all these populations that I've done these captures and relocations on, we've done a couple of genetic studies with some research institutions and government bodies. We've actually found that they are all genetically viable and do not have any deformities.
Really?
So I would just love to know whether these bodies on this island have actually done the proper testing. Because it's one thing to say that they could be carriers of disease or they could have genetic deformities, but have they actually tested it?
Do you know, you've brought up a really good point because there could be so much learned from studies at this stage if only they were made public.
Yes, exactly. And citizen scientists, as we know in Trinity Beach, we have so many volunteers that have contributed to a mass amount of data being collected. We can involve people that are living on the island or off the island. There's so much opportunity here that I think our government is only just starting to slightly tap into, mainly because I'm sitting there pestering them saying, we should do this. But, there is so much value in involving the public in data collection. I think it's really interesting, and I can't say for sure much about this particular island. I'm definitely going to do some more research into it because I'm quite interested. But yeah, like you said, it's interesting to look at other possible solutions, but also I think we just need to go back and make sure that what these statements are coming out, are they actually correct in the first place?
You've been very generous once again. I mean, tapping into your knowledge on these particular matters is solid gold for the audience to this program. So I really appreciate this, Shay. Thank you.
Most welcome. Thank you.
It's Shay Agar, and she's founder of the Agile Project.